This is Michael Thomas, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the epic Roster Watch podcast brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap here with the Trash Man, who, whenever we talked about the podcast today, he said, there's only one thing that I want to talk about today, and that's my must-own running backs for the 2020 fantasy football season. Trash Man, what the hell's going on, brother?
not a whole lot. I'm happy they reopened the springs to a limited extent, so not all is well, but you know, I'm able to decompress a little bit.
Things are looking up. I have a lunch meeting this afternoon at an outdoor patio area, the Oasis, overlooking beautiful Lake Travis.
Oh, the Oasis! I remember that one. Yeah, I remember some Alpha Rev. Performances out there.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so the first thing I want to get going on here, let's just do a quick simulation. I've updated the cheat sheet to version 2.3, so let's see how that thing's humming along right now. I want to ask Trash Man about Dalvin, but before I do, let's run a quick simulation here. I will go to Fantasy Pros and we will see how this thing's popping. Hopefully better than last time whenever we had a network error. It's worse. The YouTube was just exposed to us sitting here wondering what the hell happened to the Fantasy Pros simulator. Okay, so Trash Man, is there a particular pick you'd like me to pick from here in a 2020 12-team snake draft?
Fifth.
Okay. We're going to do it with two running backs, two wide receivers and two flex, even though I know that you don't like it like that. Byron and I talked about why it's a better way to test on the last episode.
I just feel like more people play the other format more.
I kind of think that more people right now are playing it two and two, just because a lot of the FFPC drafts are going on right now. But if you want to make it three, we can.
No, I mean,
I like to get two and two because honestly, like the other thing we talked about,
I'll play more in this format, but
yeah. Oh, and also I think that when testing for this format, it just generally makes you value running backs a little bit more, which is something we're kind of finding ourselves having to do with the way that these running backs are being pushed up the board. It's really crazy. So we're going to have the composite ADPs for ESPN, Fantrax, RT Sports, Fantasy Football Calculator, as well as the composite best ball stuff from FFPC Best Ball 10s, and also the pre-draft rankings at Yahoo, ESPN, NFL.com. All that stuff's going to be here in the mix. PPR test one. Let's make sure I have the right cheat sheet here. All right, fifth pick, Trash Man. It's not going to be Dalvin. How do you feel about taking Dalvin right now at pick five? Are you comfortable?
As long as I can get Madison somewhere in the draft.
Well, I have a feeling that we're going to be getting Madison in this draft, and I'm not sure how long this is going to be like this. But you know, we're definitely getting awesome value in these simulations on Alexander Madison right now. That is not going to be able to continue happening. I heard he went I heard somebody in a best ball draft last night talk about how he went in the fifth round, which is. Just crazy. All right, so here with the first pick at pick five, we'll take Alvin Kamara, who I did move back ahead of Dalvin Cook for the obvious reasons that we're worried about the holdout here in this.
Did Madison go ahead of Hunt?
Did Madison go ahead of who?
Kareem Hunt.
And oh, I don't know. That was somebody who was talking to me about, or that was somebody who was tweeting about their draft from yesterday. this looks like it's going to be an interesting fall here with the way that things are going. Four running backs early to start. I'm going to have to go, gee whiz. So this is a really running back heavy draft with the way that things are falling here. So Alvin Kamara, Josh Jacobs, Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, James Conner. We have these two. So AJ Green, we get to take our first wide receiver here.
I love getting AJ Green there.
Yeah, AJ Green, Will Fuller. So that, I mean, heck, this isn't too bad a start for sure. The cheat sheet, as we say, generally pulls through here in the testing portion, and it'll continue here because Keyshawn Vaughn and Darius Slayton are next to each other on the sheet. So we went and pulled the trigger here on Darius Slayton. All of a sudden, this team is starting to look like one that's actually really well balanced after going five running backs to start. We have a choice here between Jordan Howard and John Brown. Typically, I'm not a big John Brown fan, but I would just like to continue getting some balance here with this thing.
And there's our boy Madison.
It looks like he's going to be available here in the ninth round, which I'm not sure, or in the 10th round, which I'm not sure how much longer that's going to last. But we're going to be able to get Alexander Madison here. The cheat sheet looks like it'll now be turning its attention to our tight ends and our quarterback positions. We'll go ahead and get Jared Cook here on the roster right now. And
I saw CeeDee Lamb available in that last round.
Yeah, well, let me see if I can undo that pick and just see if CD. Let me just see if. No, that was Jared Cook. On the round before.
Yeah.
So it looks like Carson Wentz will be our pick here in the 12th. The cheat sheet just coming through with a great team. This thing is humming just as we've come to expect. I guess we'll be TJ Hawkinson here as our backup tight end. And your boy Denzel Mims here in the 14th round, as we usually get. This is a sick mock draft I was really worried about to start. So let's just look at it here. I just follow the three simple rules at the very top of the sheet of paper. Super easy. This team is Carson Wentz at quarterback. The running backs are Alvin Kamara, Josh Jacobs, Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, James Conner, and Alexander Madison. The wide receivers are AJ Green, Will Fuller, Darius Slayton, John Brown, and Denzel Mims. And the tight ends are Jared Cook and TJ Hawkinson. You can draft a team like that if you follow the three simple rules. At the top of the maniacal sheet of paper, the 2020 Roster Watch cheat sheet is available now at rosterwatch.com. The revolutionary cheat sheet that changed fantasy football forever is back, only at rosterwatch.com. The Roster Watch cheat sheet, all you have to do is follow three simple rules. That's it, three rules. It couldn't be easier. The Roster Watch cheat sheet, an expert quality draft, is guaranteed. The Roster Watch cheat sheet, only at rosterwatch.com.
All right. Can we truly say it's a sheet of paper anymore? Does anybody do you own a printer?
Yeah, I do. It's in my wife's closet in the other room. Yeah, I print out the sheet of paper to take to our drafts.
All right.
We still have live drafts, Trash Man, right?
I just open up a new tab.
Not me, man. I like to have my. I'm like Byron. I like my sheet of paper and my highlighter and my pencil or my pen. One guy I wanted to talk about and highlight here, Trash Man, Dalvin Cook. Just your thoughts on him. I moved him down on the most recent version of the cheat sheet to where I did a poll on Twitter that maybe I could pull up and I could read you out what the people were saying on there, but I don't think I'm comfortable taking Dalvin Cook at this. Do you think Dalvin will really hold out? First off,
I think he will. Hey, if they're going to make Kirk Cousins the highest paid quarterback in the league,
everything has to circle back around to your hate for Kirk Cousins.
Hey, no, I'm just saying, realistically speaking, he and his agent have to be looking at it like, hey, if they're going to give this guy all that money, they can afford to give the guy who's carrying their offense.
They can't. You can't afford to give running backs big contracts. You can't do it. I mean,
They're fortunate that they have Madison back there, because really he is arguably, I think he's maybe the second best backup running back in the league.
Who's the best?
Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. He's not a backup. They're saying he's going to be the number three wide receiver and just all around weapon. Okay, so here for the Vikings, speaking of Madison and Cook. So I had this poll yesterday on Twitter at RosterWatch. I tweeted, where are you comfortable currently taking Dalvin Cook in early 2012 team PPR redraft leagues given the holdout threat? 20% of responses, 429 responses so far. 20% of responses said the same as before, pick four or five. 23% of responses said pick five through eight. 23% of responses said pick 8 through 12, and 34% said second round or later. Now, Dalvin Cook was originally saying that he wanted like $15, $16 million Christian McCaffrey money. He, of course, he got laughed out of the building for that bullshit. Nobody's getting paid. Nobody's going to get paid that. We don't even know how that contract is going to affect the Carolina Panthers moving forward. But we do know that the Cowboys have been negatively impacted by Ezekiel Elliott's contract. That's just without a doubt. They are fucking hamstrung right now regarding Dak Prescott. They're gonna have to pay Dak Prescott $69 million over the course of the next 2 years, guaranteed, because of this Zeke stuff. I mean, and that's if they don't get a long term deal worked out. That's just, they're over the barrel because of Zeke. Todd Gurley, they're over the Rams. The Rams had to get rid of him. That contract was so prohibitive that the Rams had to get rid of him. David Johnson with the Cardinals. The contract where Dalvin's pointing at David Johnson and saying, I want David Johnson money, which I get because he can say, look how much more effective I am than David Johnson. But what that's going to put in the mind of that organization is saying, like, oh, that reminds us these big running back deals are shitty. Look how David Johnson fell off. These are prohibitive. These are bad for us.
I get where Cook is coming from. If you're a running back in this league,
of course we get where he's coming from. Of course we get where he's coming from. That isn't what matters.
Well, I feel for the guy.
Is
it Cook asking for that money? Is it the fact that they've already? I think they've been raked over the coals by Kirk Cousins.
Well, trash man. The fact of the matter is there is a salary cap. That they need to operate within the bounds of that salary cap.
That's what's wrong with the NFL. NFL
is the salary cap.
Yes.
Because you're a Cowboys fan, and you just want Jerry to pay everybody more, and you can be a fan of the Yankees of the NFL.
They'll never be the Yankees of the NFL. They'd have to win something within the past 20 years to be the Yankees of the NFL.
Look, dude. Look, the fact of the matter is, trash man, is that. Alexander Mattison is good. If you look at the numbers, Alexander Mattison
is excellent. Alexander Mattison is excellent.
Even PFF, like Alexander Mattison was better at yards per attempt. Well, just in straight up yards per attempt, Mattison was better last year. But just like yards per attempt after contact and like a bunch of different elusiveness ratings that PFF has, like, he was better in those regards too. So I don't know if I
trust that.
I don't trust it either. And you know, the one person in the world that does not trust PFF, Zimmer. Do you remember when they would ask him about the PFF grades on Xavier Rhodes and he would just look at them like they had an ass in their face? He'd say, who? Who? Who is grading him? He asked if they even knew what the assignment was. But anyway, so I don't think that the Vikings front office is relying entirely on what PFF says about Alexander Mattison versus Dalvin Cook. But what they are saying
– being more elusive than Cook. I guess it depends on the measure of elusiveness.
And look, Melvin Gordon turned out $10 million from the Los Angeles Chargers last year. He held out. And he ended up coming back with his tail between his legs and getting a long-term deal with the Broncos for what was that, just under $8 million per year? Dalvin Cook has been offered reportedly been offered $10 million by these guys. The reports now come out that he said that he will happily accept $13 million. I think this is a deal where they're just going to say, if Dalvin's side really is saying that he's not going to budge, I mean, that's the kind of thing where I'm the Vikings. I just kind of say, all right, you go about your business. We have bigger fish to fry here. We drafted Alexander Mattison for a reason.
If Mattison was not in that backfield, I would be more afraid of Cook. But as things stand, I feel like Cook at some point has to realize that Mattison can take his job.
Yeah.
And run with it.
Not while he's there, but while he's not there, yeah. You know, I mean, yeah. And Minnesota, we know that Kevin Stefanski's gone, you know, so things could be a little bit different this year. But last year, you know, when adjusted for the schedule and adjusted for the like the game script, the most run heavy team last year. So I mean, there's a lot of volume there to go around. There was enough for Alexander.
The most run heavy team with the highest paid quarterback in the league. How does this make any sense?
You just hate your hate for Kirk Cousins knows no bounds, trash man. Absolutely knows no bounds.
I just don't understand it.
Where do you take Dalvin? Where do you take Dalvin? Let's say that you're picking at the turn and Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Zeke Elliott, Alvin Kamara, Derrick Henry go off the board. Joe Mixon's off the board. Michael Thomas goes off the board. Davante Adams. How many players have we talked about here? Now that's like 8 picks. Then next goes like maybe Austin Eckler, and then next goes DeAndre Hopkins. Next goes Kenyon Drake, and you're picking 12.
I would take Cook in front of
Josh Jacobs,
James Conner.
Oh, so you're not even thinking about taking him in front of Jacobs or Nick Chubb or like a Miles Sanders or a Clyde Edwards-Helaire or anything like that.
No, I don't feel the need to.
Okay. Fair enough.
I feel like I can make base a team around those guys and feel fine about it.
Okay, so Dalvin, for you, I kind of settled in on Dalvin just for now. Was it pick 2.02 or 2.03? Whenever I'm having to decide between like guys like, you know, I'm a little bit lower than the industry consensus on Nick Chubb, as I believe you are, just because we're such Kareem Hunt guys. But you know, start thinking about him and Miles Sanders.
I'm taking Drake and Miles Sanders over Cook right now.
Boy, what an excellent value. And early drafters are going to be getting on Cook right now then if he does come back. Because I feel like
Drake and Sanders have that kind of upside.
I feel like Drake does. I mean, Sanders does too. It's just neither of one of those guys is Dalvin Cook, though.
But who is threatening Sanders besides Boston Scott for the Eagles?
I figure they're going to bring somebody. They're going to bring somebody in, and they're going to swindle Miles Sanders like they always do.
We don't know that yet.
And we don't know about Dalvin yet.
That's true.
And so at some point, trash man, you have to price enforce.
Yeah.
So where I thought that was maybe pick 2.02, 2.03, something like that. You think it should be later? It's fine. I'm just trying to get your advice.
I feel safer later. And the thing is, I mean, even like Austin Eckler, I mean, like I feel like Austin Eckler on a good day can have Dalvin Cook games, you know. It's like, if I'm looking at value and Todd Gurley and the prospective value there and like him having very little competition in Atlanta, if he's healthy, it's really hard for me to reconcile a Cook who could sit out the first quarter of the season. I mean,
or the whole season. The way and the Vikings kind of hold all the cards because he's not going to accrue a year towards his free agency. And when he does come back, he'd be a restricted free agent anyway. And it's not like anybody's going to pay the tender on a restricted free agent running back. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I feel like it's kind of, even though he's talking a big game right now, I'm not sure that he can.
If we can get a draft like we did at the start of the show with that kind of running back depth, then I'm not quite as hesitant to take Cook.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Well, we're certainly hoping to get that running back depth this year because boy, running backs are flying off the goddamn shelves. Let's talk about a couple of running backs. I have the new scoring distribution tool up at rosterwatch.com. The busts and monsters tool. Let's just talk about these PPR monster games. And I thought you'd find this interesting, trash man. So if we just take Kenyon Drake's time during the period in which he was with the Arizona Cardinals and just use that small sample from last year. If we look at this list, Christian McCaffrey has the most PPR monster games over the course of the last 2 years, or over the sample available to us, with going over 25 points in PPR 56.25% of the time. Can you believe that? Over half the time, Christian McCaffrey gets you a 25 burger or more in PPR. It's just like
he is the Panthers offense.
You know, and you know, Byron's talking about maybe in standard putting Saquon Barkley over him this year. And you just look, I mean, Saquon Barkley has literally done it in half the games, 27.59% that Christian McCaffrey has. But the guy right under, just as far from a pure upside perspective, if you just take that sample from Kenyon Drake, he's the next guy on the list. 37.5% of the time, he got you over 25 points.
This is what I've been saying. He could be a top five running back.
Followed on the list was Todd Gurley over the course of the last 2 years, but one of those years included a sample that was pre sort of the cropping up of the arthritic knee. That being said, man, Todd Gurley puts up monster football games, and he's one of the best backs we've seen.
So he's one of my most must-own backs.
Well, we'll talk about that here shortly. Ezekiel Elliott, right underneath him at 33.3% of the time, he gets into you. And then the guy who has a running back ADP right now, which I just cannot believe, of running back 23. People are drafting James Conner as a low-end running back two, trash man. And over the course of the last 2 years, he's gotten you a 25-point PPR game 30.43% of the time. This is recency bias.
It's a what have you done for me lately kind of league.
Let's look at this. So that's the top five as far as the scoring distribution for PPR monsters. Let's talk about the guys who have the lowest level of PPR busts. And at number one, at only 6%, and we define a PPR bust of under 10 points, which is a complete shit your pants, ruin my week, make me throw my remote control at the TV kind of week out of these guys. Okay. Number one is Ezekiel Elliott. He only busts in PPR at a 6.06% clip. You think he can get.
Hey, that's why he's making that money.
Yeah. Christian McCaffrey, another guy making that money. He's only busted.
Yeah, that's going to continue with Elliott.
Yeah.
And McCaffrey.
6.25% of the time. It moves up after that. A guy that just seemed a little bit like an up and down player, at least looking back to last year, when maybe he might not have been, but that was just kind of my memory. Alvin Kamara's only busted over the last 2 years, 9.38% of the time. He's in third place.
I don't think it only seemed up and down because he was a little bit banged up.
Listen to this. Le'Veon Bell, I only used the sample from last year because that's how the tool works. We only use the samples that are relevant. You know, Le'Veon Bell's scoring distribution for the Pittsburgh Steelers just is not relevant for how we need to project him moving forward. But Le'Veon Bell last year only busted at 13.3% of the time. Now, he gave you zero PPR monsters, 0% of the time.
Yeah, his ceiling monster was not high.
So no ceiling, but actually a better floor than people remember last year for Le'Veon Bell. Not that you want, you know, these consistent 11, 12, 13-point games out of your Le'Veon Bell, who you had drafted.
Well, a lot of people had drafted him higher than that.
Well, but now, see, you're getting him in the fourth round or something like that, and it's an improved offensive line. It's another year with Sam Darnold. They drafted, you know, besides the improvements that they made on the offensive line, they drafted Mekhi Becton. I think that, you know, I'm getting a good amount of Le'Veon Bell. Yeah. If you get him as your running back four,
that's crazy if you can get him as your running back four.
I think it sounds appealing and appetizing to get him as your running back three.
Yeah, I would say so. I would be happy with him as my running back too. I'm not going to lie.
And then coming in at number five here on the list of the guys who busted the least, Dalvin Cook, 14.81% of the time. Trash man.
Why he busted the money?
Trash man. Guess who's busted 100% of the time that has a top 50 ADP? There's only one.
Only one that's busted 100% of the time in PPR?
Yeah. Yep. And he has a top 50 ADP.
Oh man,
he's been a backup. There's some hope take a step up this year, but he's going to have competition from a rookie coming in for a team that's been vacated of touches by a good running back that's left. Come on, you can guess this. His team plays in the NFC. He's a second-year player.
You talking about Darrell Henderson?
Yeah. 100% bust rate in PPR so far in his career. Yeah, the only guy you can say that about that's being drafted in the top – actually, no, I'm sorry, in the top 58. Because even Rashad Penny only has a 77% bust rate. The biggest bust rates among these guys who were drafted in the top 57, Darrell Henderson, Alexander Mattison, Justin Jackson, Tony Pollard, and Rashad Penny. If we look at the guys with the ADPs that are kind of creeping up here, the most egregious ADP versus bust rate for PPR and for standard is probably David Montgomery, who has an ADP of 24. He busted 56.25% of the time last year in PPR, 50% of the time in standard. I'm guessing David Montgomery is not one of your must-own running backs, is he, Trash?
He is not. He is not on my list.
Why don't we get to those for the good people? Oh, shout out to everybody in the chat. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention to this. Scott Kimmett, thank you so much for your continued comments on these videos. Dude, we really appreciate it. If you guys are watching this on YouTube, we appreciate all the comments and all the thumbs up. It helps people to find the show and all the good work that guys like Alan Seslowski and Trashman are doing. And we're going to be continuing to roll out more and more of that content. And that really helps us. And then let's see, CT2020 saying he watched Drake's tape and he's now on board. My bad. He said, I said he's a bust last week on your show. Okay.
People are starting to come around.
Asking if he should watch on YouTube. You can watch wherever you want, brother. We're just asking if people like. I mean, this goes out on the podcast form too. So we're just asking if you are watching on YouTube, man, just a thumbs up over there, or if you go to youtube.com/rosterwatch and just go give it a subscribe, thumbs up a few videos. That would also really help us greatly. All right, Trash Man, let's do it. Must own running backs. The shitty topic we have been given this week to talk about. I can't believe we're being forced to. Generally, we just talk about what we actually, want to talk about.
It's kind of funny. It's almost like a mystery science theater. But I don't topics.
I don't even know what it means. Must own running backs. First of all, what does that even mean to you?
that you can't not own them. Obviously,
it's like you must have own a draft.
You got to get these guys.
So like, and you for me. What if you don't have the draft pick? What if I say Christian McCaffrey's must own? You gotta murder the guy in your league with the 1.01 to see if he could end up taking his spot.
Hey, hopefully you can trade some picks.
At all costs.
Hopefully you can trade some picks for him.
Must is Kareem Hunt. I love that. He might be on Trash Man's list too. Let's start.
All right, must own. And so must own. It's kind of a dubious topic. So I included guys who I think are going to provide too much value at their current ADPs to not draft. And the first of these I have is Joe Mixon.
That's interesting. Let's hear why.
Well, if you look at the stretch last half of the season last year, I think maybe there were five running backs who did better than Joe Mixon over that span. And I just feel like the offense has improved to get AJ Green back. You have a quarterback who I guess we're all assuming is going to be better than Andy Dalton was.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also going to have to rely on Joe Mixon to really carry that team. I feel like Joe Mixon, I feel like he's a top five finisher at the end of the season. And I feel like at his current ADP, which is eight right now, which isn't that low, but if you think about him being a top five running back, ultimately, I think you have to take Joe Mixon there.
Yeah, offensive line improvements, right? And Jonah Williams. That's like an extra first round pick that they're getting back this year.
And Drew Sample, also one of the better blocking tight ends.
Yeah,
that's coming up.
Yeah, I guess that's true. We love Drew Sample. I forgot about him. He's a great blocking tight end. And Joe Burrow, man, think about how much he dumped it off to Clyde Edwards-Helaire last year.
Yeah.
The thing that everybody forgets about Mixon is he's
a great pass catcher.
He's a free dude. He's a freaky, freaky pass catcher. Go back and watch not if you're a Texas fan, but go back and watch some of those highlights I'm pretty sure it was versus Texas, where he's catching the ball like back behind his hit, you know, like literally behind the back catches with one hand. He's a freaky pass catcher. I do agree, man. If I'm picking at the second half of drafts, I really do favor taking Joe Mixon. One of my favorite things to do is to get Joe Mixon at like pick 11 and get Kenyon Drake at like pick 2.
That's my next guy. He's an ADP of 12 right now. I feel like Kenyon Drake, if he runs at the clip that we've just been talking about.
Well, trash, man, that's a big qualifier, but you should just say that you like it.
What's crazy about it? What's crazy about it?
It isn't crazy. What you should say is he's going to go off of that same clip, and you got to own him. You don't need to qualify.
Exactly.
Yeah, you need to qualify.
Going off of that same clip, he's going to be a top 5 running back finisher if he stays healthy. And with an ADP of 12, I feel like you can't pass up Kenyon Drake. And an offense that is marginally improved, I think, now that DeAndre Hopkins is there. I mean, they have a true number one wide receiver.
You have to bake in improvement in the second year in a brand new system, second year with a brand new quarterback, you know, offensive line being
adjusted. Kyler Murray was the number 7 quarterback when all was said and done in fantasy last year.
Yeah, and he could have finished higher, right?
Yeah, he had an up and down season.
A little bit of a slow start. Joe San in the comments is saying that Bill Belichick thinks Mixon's the most talented running back in the NFL. I don't know. How would he know that? Do you get to talk to Belichick? I can't imagine he said that in an interview. Okay. I didn't know that.
I believe it.
All right. So far, Joe Mixon, Kenyon Drake, Zapper says saying that he did say – when did he say that? Did somebody ask Belichick about Mixon? I guess
maybe when he was coming out.
I try, this is my job. I try to stay on top of the NFL news about these players.
So you're saying he said it within the last, I mean, like, you know, three years ago?
Bill Belichick, Joe Mixon. Let's just see. Wow, this is true. December 17th, following the New England victory, Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. So that was the game where they played against do you remember that game whenever Joe Mixon like 35 touches against the Patriots?
I'm telling you, they didn't.
Yeah.
He carried that team.
So Joe Mixon's a good one too. He's probably the best back in the league. He runs so hard. He's so hard to tackle. Wow. All right. Well, Joe San, all these guys, Sapper Stud, my ball, Zach Ertz. Oh, my ball, Zach Ertz. I wonder if that's the caller from the Sirius show. Okay. So yeah. So Belichick loves him. Trash Man loves him. How can you go wrong?
You can't go wrong. I could keep going, but the next I'm going to talk about is Miles Sanders of the Eagles, right behind Kenyon Drake.
You can't own all of those guys. You literally can't.
I don't know. I feel like
none of those guys
are going to like
third round.
Think Joe Mixon could drop to the end of a first round, end of the first round, and then you get – You can get Drake on the turn.
Yeah. And then how the hell are you going to get Miles Sanders? Like, he's going to last for 311 or 312. You like Miles Sanders, but trash, man, this is, I guess, I mean, look, it's a bullshit topic, so we can give bullshit answers. Miles Sanders, must own.
Value-wise, yes. With Boston Scott as a direct backup. And I guess, and you're saying that they're going to pick up somebody. We've yet to see that, and we've yet to see if that person is. Yeah, I mean, who would they? You know, would it maybe Devontae Freeman? Could you see that happening?
Yeah, yeah. Of course, you can see it happening. Miles Sanders, Miles Sanders busted 36% of the time last season. He crapped the deck for you through the whole start of the season.
I mean, you have to consider those are some games too with Jordan Howard, where they weren't giving him a full complement of carries, and especially goal line carries.
I get it. And Kaplan is saying this won't be a committee this year. I trust Kaplan. So he tweeted about that yesterday from what he said on the Inside the Birds podcast. I'll want to go listen to that podcast or just DM Kaplan and just ask him what the story is with that. Because, I mean, Kaplan had told us before he was expecting, 15 to 17 touches a game. I think that's probably fine. But if I'm talking about a must-own guy, I want a player that I can count on that, but at least have the upside or the understanding that at some point this season we could get to a bell cow here.
Didn't you say that you thought Sanders was Saquon Barkley 2.0 basically?
Yeah. He reminds me a lot. He's from the same school as Saquon Barkley. He has a lot of the same skill set. I said this guy athletically, he checks a lot of the same boxes that Saquon Barkley checked, just to a little bit lesser degree, to a little bit less fanfare. But so not really Saquon 2.0. Maybe kind of just a small bit of a mini Saquon, I guess.
A 1B?
Yeah. Well, the Penn State 1B to Saquon, right? Like the guy he comes in and takes over Saquon's role after Saquon leaves, and he was awesome.
And if you can get him as your number two running back in an offense where the sky's the limit, where Boston Scott is his only direct backup right now.
I think
there are a few positions that offer that much upside.
I need to do more research about what insiders like Kaplan are saying about his touch share and how it's changed from the – we're planning on him having 15 to – I mean, last year he averaged 16 touches per game last year. So 15 to 17 doesn't change.
And that's got to improve.
He was not a guy that he wasn't a league winner by any means last year, unless you traded for him mid-season from the losing player from the losing team who was rostering this dude, and you got him on for when he predictably picked up and got hot at the end.
But we don't have the Jordan Howard factor this season.
We don't know yet. Just like with Dalvin, there's an unknown there with Miles Sanders.
And I'm going off of what the reality is right now. And the reality is Boston Scott is his direct backup.
I can't believe that you've made three must-own running backs that literally nobody watching this will be able to own on the same team. And unless it's a dynasty league where they've owned them for years and years.
We're talking about must-own lists. And nobody's considering a must-own list whether you can actually acquire them all on the same team.
Of course, what we're advertising this as information regarding is not what anybody's expecting, right? Who's the next guy on the must-own list? Let me guess. Zeke? Somebody else we're not going to be able to own along with the rest of these guys? All right.
No. David Johnson.
You could own David Johnson along with those two others. You could own David Johnson. Yeah.
David Johnson.
If we throw out the trashy Miles Sanders take, because you can't must own Kenyon Drake and Miles Sanders, you need to pick one of the two. So far it's
there is a world where I think you can get Kenyon Drake and Miles Sanders in the same draft.
Not in the same world where you can get the first guy that you talked about, Mixon. There's not a world that exists where in a 12-team league where you can own Joe Mixon, Kenyon Drake, and Miles Sanders. I've done hundreds.
For my 10-teamers then.
For your 10-teamers. Jeez.
Hey, and like I said, no one's making that consideration when they're making these lists. They're talking about the guys who they can get, who they can't pass up their value. I can't pass up the value.
Making these lists. So this just
I don't know. Crazy. Apparently, people because that's what that's
because our SEO guy said this is what we need to talk about. Who else must you own?
I said David Johnson was the next guy.
All right,
David Johnson with an ADP of 23 right now. I mean, he's just going to get an inordinate amount of touches in that offense, where you can't pass him up. I think, but in that offense last year, was it 250 touches?
What?
Carlos Hyde?
Carlos
Hyde got 255 touches last year.
Yeah. Do you think that Duke Johnson plays in? That's just so dumb. I think that the reason why, and I know it's silly, but I think the reason why David Johnson, somebody you can depend on, is just because Bill O'Brien is going to, like, he's like, I traded DeAndre Hopkins.
He sold his soul.
Yeah.
For David Johnson. He's
I like David Johnson. He's good value. He's a good value right now. A guy that you can consistently get at the 3-4 turn, and somebody that you legit could get if you started that three running backs, like we did in that mock that we did a little bit earlier. Trash Man, the show's starting to come together and flow.
Imagine that.
Who else?
All right, so the last guy I'm going to talk about, I guess now that I'm looking at it, Kareem Hunt would be a nice fit in there.
You could own Kareem Hunt with this scenario, for sure.
But it was actually Latavius Murray.
Latavius? I thought you said it was Gurley. I thought Gurley was on your list. When I was talking about Gurley, you said he's a must-own running back.
He is a must-own, but you're talking Gurley. About guys who we could get. I don't think we could get Gurley and get David Johnson as well.
Yes, you can. You can get Mixon, Kenyon Drake, David Johnson, Todd Gurley, David Johnson. If you picked at the turn, I've actually done it a lot.
Well, then let's go stay with Todd Gurley then.
You can talk Todd Gurley, but then you got to give your shitty take on Latavius.
What's shitty about the take on Latavius?
Why this guy's must own? Why is he must own?
Can you hear me?
As a New Orleans, can you hear me? As a New Orleans Saint, Latavius Murray has gotten you a monster game 11.76% of the time, which actually isn't that bad. He's busted 64.7% of the time. Why must we own him? There's only 8 players with ADPs under running back 58 who have busted more often than he has as a New Orleans.
He had a 900-yard season with 6 touchdowns last year, playing behind Alvin Kamara. And I just feel at that value, what is he?
Running back 48.
You're drafting guys like Daryl Henderson, Alexander Mattison, Tariq Cohen. I just feel like Murray offers more value than all of those guys.
Than Alexander Mattison, given the current state of the Dalvin Cook holdout?
Well, like you said, you don't think Cook's going to hold out.
Do you think Cook's going to hold out?
I think he will.